You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Thank you for tuning in this morning. It's 9 o'clock in Chicago on this very warm day, not as warm as it's been the past couple of days. I'm Graziano Marcheschi, thanking you for making this choice to listen to Catholic Radio. Just got back from Louisville, Kentucky, where there was just as bad a heat wave there as there is here. It's hot everywhere in this country, so be careful out there. Stay cool. Keep an eye on the elderly, on the children, on pets, and drink lots of water. Today is a very important feast in the life of the church. It's the feast of St. Mary Magdalene, known as Apostle to the Apostles, because she was the first witness of the resurrection. Of all the people that Jesus could have chosen to be the first to encounter him after that dramatic event in human history, his resurrection from the dead, it was Mary Magdalene who was privileged to be the first to encounter him. And it was she who then ran down the hill and brought that good news to the apostles. So we ask for Mary Magdalene to pray for us today as we do what we do and try to become apostles as well, try to proclaim the good news and announce the gospel to the world. We're going to be telling you about a couple of interesting things today, and the first is about a retreat program called Reflect, which is for single adults and not necessarily young adults, youngish adults. And we have a good candidate for my, okay. I don't know what that says there. My producer's trying to tell me something, and I can't do two things at the same time. I'm trying to get a hang of that. On the phone, as guests from Michigan this morning, we have Mike Garr and Libby Richard. Good morning, folks.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Mike and Libby. You've been involved with this retreat program for a while, and I'm really eager to hear about it because while you've been sponsoring up in the Michigan area for a while, you're bringing it to the Chicago area. So we want to hear all about it. But first of all, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourselves? How did you get involved in retreat program? What kind of work do you do? What's your background and what brought you to this kind of ministry? How about Mike? Why don't you start us off?
Okay, I will do that. Well, I reside up here in Grand Ledge, Michigan, and for employment, I'm a commercial food salesperson. I've been doing that for the past 23 years. I'm a single father of three. My oldest just graduated from Northwestern Law School there in Chicago.
All right, so you come down here pretty often, I bet.
Yeah, every so often. Beautiful city. My next son works in Detroit, and my youngest daughter, 20 years old, is at home with me, and she's an MSU student. I've recently been divorced after 27 years of marriage. My hobbies and likes are like physical health. I love to help other people in hopes that I can make a difference for them. And I'm a member of the Just Faith community for social justice. And that led me to be a volunteer to prepare meals and help at a local homeless shelter.
Now, how'd you get involved with this retreat program?
Well, I got involved. I like to go on a yearly retreat, and I didn't have one planned last year, and it just stumbled across me and was staring at me in my bulletin. And, I didn't feel that I needed a retreat at that time for single people, but I didn't have anywhere else to go, so I just signed up, and I could check it off my list for that year. And I got there, and it really changed the way that I feel about being a single person, and it gave me a different sense of other struggles that people have that are single, people that have never been married, or people that have lost a spouse. In my case, excuse me, I was divorced. Excuse me. So it really touched me, and then I was asked to join the team, and I never thought that would have happened. You know, when I went to the retreat, thought about it a lot, you know, prayed about it a lot, tried everything in my power to talk myself out of becoming a member.
That's usually a good sign that God's got something planned for you.
Boy, he did. But I did know that the things that have happened in my life and the struggles that I've had, I wanted to take that and share with other people and be able to help them. And honestly, I had a personal resurrection, and I feel God has called me to do this part in my life right now to help other people.
Well, we want to hear more about that, but first let's turn to Libby. Good morning, Libby.
Good morning, Gratz. How are you?
I'm very well. Good to have you with us. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I work in communications for city government in mid-Michigan. I'm a single, never married, who comes from a big, loving Catholic family, one of whom lives west of Chicago, so I know Chicago very well. I've been involved in various ministries over the years, and it sounds like a personal ad, but I enjoy singing and traveling and spending time with family and friends.
And give us a little sense of how you got connected with church and how you got connected with this retreat in particular.
Mm-hmm. Well, a friend of mine from college who also had never married told me about it. It's based out of the Lansing area, Lansing, Michigan, and I live 2 hours away from there, but even though that's a little bit of a drive, there was not a whole lot going on for a 30-something person like me in the area where I lived, so I signed up, and ironically, my friend did not, so when I went on the retreat, I didn't know a soul there, but that really didn't scare me. I had done retreats in the past, so I was excited about it. But when I got to the retreat, the team immediately made me feel comfortable and very welcome, and it was just a great experience of opening up my faith once again after a very long, dry spell. And I didn't realize that I actually was attending the very first retreat that they held, but you wouldn't know it. I mean, they were pros. So after the weekend, I too was asked to be on the team, and I've been on the team ever since.
Well, that sounds great. So tell us about the retreats in particular. I have to confess, when I hear singles, automatically my brain thinks, oh, this is an opportunity for people to meet other singles, you know, with hopefully relationships looming down the road. Is that in any way part of this plan, or is this really just an opportunity for people who don't happen to be connected to somebody else to have a spiritual experience?
Well, definitely, I think that some people do come on the weekend thinking that they will find a potential mate, and there's nothing wrong with that in any way, but there's very little emphasis on that. There's really no emphasis on that. Our focus is on letting people have an opportunity to look at their lives as a single person, as a midlife single, and see the value in it. And our theme is belonging, and that's so important because I think a lot of people, if they're never married, they're divorced or widowed, they get to this stage in their life and they feel like, well, gee, I'm kind of alone on this island. It's a couple's world. There's a lot of emphasis on couples and marriage and family, and where do I fit in? So our focus is more on, you know, looking at your single life as a blessing and taking it and running with it, not so much to find another person, but to see the value in it and see how the Lord might want to use your life to, enrich yourself and the kingdom of God.
Okay, we need to go to a quick break, and we're going to come right back and continue this conversation, give you information specifically about when a Reflect retreat will be held here in the Chicago area. So don't go away. We'll be right back after these brief messages.
Join the movement to run in the 2011 Bank of America Chicago Marathon on Sunday, October 9th as a pledge runner for Team Catholic Charities. The race is sold out, but we have post-close entries for you or someone you know. To join or sponsor the Catholic Charities Marathon team or to join the committee, call 312-655-7912. That's 312-655-7912. Visit us at catholiccharities.net/Chicago Marathon, and we'll see you at the finish line.
Are you Mawusi? Mawusi means in the hands of God in Ewe, a language of the Ghanaian people.
The Office of Catechesis and Youth Ministry sponsors the annual Mawusi Retreat, celebrating Black Catholic spirituality. This year's theme is Signed, Sealed, Delivered, I'm Called. We'll explore how we are signed by our baptism, sealed by the Holy Spirit, delivered from sin, and called to a life with Christ.
Experience Black Catholic spirituality through robust talks, prayer sessions, reconciliation, Eucharistic adoration, reflective time, and a forum focusing on vocations.
The retreat is designed for adults discerning ministry, lay and religious ministers who serve the Black Catholic community, and anyone else seeking a spiritual call to action.
Join us at Mawusi, Friday, July 22nd to Sunday, July 24th, at Techne Towers in Techne, Illinois, near Northbrook. For additional information, call 312-534-8046 or visit our website, www.catechesis-chicago.org.
That's 312-534-8046 or www.catechesis-chicago.org. Also, check us out on Facebook. Search for Mawusi Chicago.
Are you Mawusi?
Friday morning in Chicago, 9/11, and thank you for tuning in to Catholic Radio. This is the radio voice of the Catholic Archdiocese of Chicago. I'm Graziano Marcheschi. And we are bringing you information today about a retreat program specifically designed for singles in the age range of 30 to 50. As we celebrate the feast of St. Mary Magdalene, who probably was in that age range, we ask her prayers for all those single people in that range who are seeking to better understand their call and hoping to perhaps find someone to connect their life with, or committed to spending their life as a single person and looking for a deeper connection to God. So this retreat program, I think, addresses all of the above. Is that right, Mike?
Yes, it does.
Now, you mentioned earlier that the retreat you went on precipitated a kind of resurrection in your life. Could you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I would. First, I'd like to comment about, you mentioned about singles getting together and, for relationships, and that it was far from it. And the resurrection, one of the resurrections that I had from that was when I went to the retreat, after being in a relationship pretty much all my life and becoming single, I was ashamed and embarrassed of not wanting to be in a relationship, and I couldn't understand that. And when I came back, when I spent the weekend with all these people, and they made me feel so welcome, and, I came out Sunday as being very happy and very proud to be a single person, and that God has led me here, for a reason. And the other personal resurrection that I'm speaking of is my past history with a lot of the challenges that I had, and going through a very difficult divorce, and something that I couldn't understand. I just, after listening to other people's testimonials, it allowed me to reflect on my life and say, God has got me here for a reason, and He's taken me there, and now I have no threats, and I'm, I've got a great sense of peace, and I'd like to share that peace with other people.
So it sounds like it was a real moment of grace for you, really feeling enveloped in the love of God and getting a deeper sense of your own identity.
Yes. In fact, I listened to a song this morning, and tears are God's way of disguising grace.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened for me, and it happens for a lot of people.
Libby, your website says that the retreats are for those who want to know themselves better and discover more about their capacity for life as a single man or woman. Tell us a little bit about how the retreat helps people to get get to know themselves a little bit better.
Mm-hmm, certainly. Well, kind of it goes back a little bit to what Mike was saying, as he briefly touched on. We have a series of talks that makes up the bulk of the weekend, and you could call them personal testimonials, if you will. We have different topics that we feel pertain to being single at this stage in life, and our team members will take the talk and, you know, they'll talk about that theme or that topic, but they'll talk about it in terms of their own life experience. And then in some cases, they'll talk about painful experiences. Other times, they'll talk about happy experiences. It just depends on the topic and their personal experience. But we find that by having a retreat where that's the basic format, you get the benefit of hearing others' experiences and how the Lord brought them out of that. And it helps you clarify some of the challenges that you're facing personally. It helps you realize that, you know, I'm not alone in this kind of a struggle. there are other people who've had these problems, and look how far they've come. And we find that words can inspire people, and they can have an impact on their life and help them understand themselves better and come to a peace with being a single person if they're not already at that place. So we just try to provide an environment where that's possible.
What you're describing, I think, is one of the unique elements of the Reflect program, that the sessions are presented by other single adults, as opposed to, you know, an expert coming in, a theologian, a priest. That model is also followed by a high school retreat called Kairos. And my kids have all done that, and they've been deeply touched by it. And I think one of the distinctive elements of that is that maybe the theology isn't as profound as you might get from a theology professor, from a priest who's been ministering for 20 years, but the authenticity, the depth of emotion, the real life experience that's being shared, I think is what touches people at a very, very deep place.
Mm-hmm.
Has that been your experience?
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, just as you were talking about that, it made me think back. The team gets together each month up until the date of the retreat to plan the retreat. And as part of that planning process, we read our talks during to each other, to team members. And part of the reason we do that is because it's so moving for us to hear the talks that it's easy for us to be, you know, break out into tears or whatever. And we kind of want to get that out of the way so that we're available for people on the weekend should that happen. Mm. But, you know, it's very cathartic for us as well as team members. But that is part of the goal, I think, is just that personal element of it. And it's not that we're expecting people are going to break out into tears or anything like that. But, you know, the Lord has a way of touching people at whatever place they're at. And oftentimes people will come on the weekend and say, oh, I didn't expect this at all. Or, you know, I was expecting something different, and the Lord just really reached out to me in a way that I really didn't imagine coming at all. But it's just been a wonderful experience.
Yeah. Mike and Libby, I know that retreat experiences are often really powerful mountaintop experiences. And as you say, sometimes the tears will flow. People express parts of themselves, talk about aspects of their lives that maybe they haven't shared with others before. What happens when the retreat ends and now you got to come down the mountain? Is there anything built into this process that provides some kind of ongoing support or ongoing contact with others?
Well, one thing that we do as a group is we have an alumni dinner. I mean, we invite all the alum that's been on all the past retreats to come. And the participation in that is pretty good, you know, and people can share their feelings and thoughts. We do have a web site that, you know, people sometimes, you know, contact us on. And the last one was my very first retreat as a team member. And we had this one gal, excuse me, on the retreat, and she was 60. And at this time, I'd like to mention that, you know, the age range is mid-30s to mid-50s. It's not a cutoff at 50.
Yeah.
But this gal was 60, and, you know, her heart opened up immensely while she was there. She was a very introverted gal and all alone, you know, up in the Bay City area. And a couple weeks after the retreat, you know, my phone rang, and she called, and she says, you know, she, you know, thanked me and all that stuff, but she needed some help. You know, she goes, I'm going through a difficult time, and I need some help, and would you pray for me? And, you know, that being said, you know, I can just send out a group prayer to the team, and everybody prays for her. And, you know, once again, a couple months later, she did the same thing. So, and I think that this happens with other team members, too, as they build relationships with people. You know, we're there to help.
That's a great part of the process. We're going to need to take a short break, and then we're going to come back and give you some specifics about this retreat coming up in the Chicago area, August 19 to 21. You're listening to Catholic Radio on AM 950. We'll be right back after these short messages. Don't go away.
The Catholic New World has been your faith resource for well over a century. Archbishop Patrick Feehan recognized the need for a strong Catholic voice in 1892 and launched Chicago's first Catholic newspaper. Bishop Feehan named our Catholic newspaper using a theme from the Columbian Exposition, the New World that gave people hope for a brighter future. Today, the Catholic New World is better than ever. It's a rich and diverse resource for Chicagoland Catholics with stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Cardinal Francis George and our team of columnists offer compelling insights on spirituality, catechesis, and evangelization. Visit our website at catholicnewworld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777. Our look has changed, but we are still your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
Blessed Pope John Paul II's Theology of the Body is changing lives around the world. It brings clarity to many of the tough questions regarding our sexuality and God's plan for love and life. Please join the Respect Life Office and the Office for Catholic Schools for the Theology of the Body for Teens curriculum training. This two-day training is perfect for teachers, youth ministers, catechists, and anyone who wants to bring Theology of the Body to teenagers. The Theology of the Body for Teens High School Edition training will take place on Friday evening, August 12th. The training for the new middle school edition will take place Saturday, August 13th, and will include lunch and materials. Both trainings will take place at Queen of the Rosary Parish in Elk Grove Village. For more information or to register, please contact the Respect Life Office at 312-534-5355 or check out their website at respectlifechicago.org.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith. I'm Graziano Marcheschi, honored to be with you at 9:22 on this Friday morning in a very warm Chicago that's going to get warmer, but not as hot as yesterday. We're talking this morning about a retreat specifically designed for Catholic singles in the age range of the early 30s to the mid-50s. I understand we're talking with Mike Garr and Libby Richard from Lansing, Michigan, where this retreat program grew out of the Refresh Retreat Program, which is a program for a little bit younger demographic, 21 to 35-year-olds. You know, I'm looking at one of your brochures, Mike, and it says here that we are people who meet every day at work, stores, sports activities, and church. Are you talking about people who encounter, or are you talking about the team actually meet on a regular basis that way?
No, I think we're talking about, you know, our livelihoods.
Oh, okay.
Participants,
okay.
And team members. You know, we're just everyday people that you're going to see in the office or wherever.
Now, tell me why the Reflect program is different from other retreats that people might choose to go on.
I'm going to make a comment, and then I'm going to flip it over to Libby, I think, because
okay.
She's been on the team a little bit longer. But
she's the veteran.
Yes, she is.
No pressure there.
The younger veteran.
The younger veteran.
Yes.
Here you go.
She's
yes.
Wise. She's the wisdom figure in the group here.
Yes.
All right.
Well, it's different in that, well, for one thing, as you pointed out, it's led by lay people primarily. And we do on occasion get questions from people who are interested in possibly coming on the retreat. They'll say, do you have a lot of priests or nuns, or, you know, are the clergy going to lead this, or are you going to have professional speakers? And, you know, we're very honest with them, and we say we have a reconciliation service and a mass, and those are led by priests. But the bulk of the weekend is led by lay people, and that may be different than some retreats. It's not the type of retreat where, you know, you're sitting with a notebook in hand and you're taking notes, and there's a lot of an emphasis on, say, theology or that kind of thing. It's more of a, it's just like the name of the retreat implies. It's reflection. It's reflecting on your life, and we do that through a series of talks. But we also have icebreakers and fun time and downtime. We have optional prayer times. As I said, the reconciliation and the mass. We try to mix it up, but the whole goal is for people to feel that they belong and that their life has meaning, and they're not alone. And to get them to focus on that and focus on their relationship with the Lord in a personal way.
Absolutely. Now, Mike, you said you were going to make a comment before Libby gave us some of those details. What were you going to say?
Basically, what I was going to say is the biggest point of differential to me is it's led by lay people.
Okay.
It's led by people like us. And, you know, what we feel is, you know, personal testament always touches a person's heart.
I notice in your,
what we do there.
I notice in your flyer you say, what happens on the weekend stays on the weekend. Now, you're talking about the depth of the sharing of people, you know, talk about their experience and their pain, that they don't have to worry about anybody going off and blabbing about that, right?
Exactly, yes, yes. And what that does, it opens up for the participants to engage in the same thing. You know, from my first experience, when I looked around, and you know, you'd see, you know, small groups of people in their own discussion sharing their life's challenges and stuff, too. And a lot of times being able to bring that out for the first time to a total stranger.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I've been married for most of my life. Got married pretty young, so I'm not sure I remember what it was like to be single. But I know that one of the unique features of the retreat is that you address those issues and challenges that single people face uniquely within their lives. What are some of those things? And Mike, you mentioned before that you acquired a deeper appreciation for the single life, you know, after making your retreat. So what are some of those unique aspects of single life that the retreat helps to address?
Well, you know, the theme again, it is belonging, and a lot of times we, being a single person, you don't feel you belong somewhere, but in actuality, you belong in a lot of places in your life. And sometimes you don't feel that because maybe you don't have a spouse. You know, there's issues of not feeling comfortable. And this is one thing I went through when I would go to Mass. You know, here I am, this single man, all of a sudden sitting amongst people, and nobody wants to sit with you. You just, you know, you feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Not going out. You know, a lot of times people don't even want to go out and participate in anything. And I know from personal experience that if you do go out and force yourself, it does get easier, and it opens up a lot that you can belong to, and then you'll heal. So.
Libby, why don't you give us specifics about the upcoming retreat, when and where, and how people can get further information and even register for the retreat?
Okay. Yes, the retreat is going to be held the weekend of August 19th through the 21st. That's a Friday through a Sunday at the Cardinal Stritch Retreat House, which is in Mundelein, and that's about 40 miles from Chicago.
On the grounds of Mundelein Seminary.
Yes, in that area. And I haven't been there. Mike actually has, but I guess it's beautiful.
900 acres, fabulous
mm-hmm.
lake.
Yes.
So if someone wants to come to Cardinal Stritch August 19 to 21, where would they call to get signed up?
They can call 312-523-1072.
312-523-1072.
Yeah.
Or website?
Or there's our website, which is www.reflectretreat.com.
Reflectretreat.com.
Mm-hmm.
Great. And the cost of the retreat?
$175.
That's a bargain.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And you get your own single room. It includes all your meals, your materials. It's a good deal.
Well, we want to thank you both, Mike Garr, Libby Richard, and thank you for carrying on this ministry. We encourage the singles out there to consider it. We're going to take a break now. When we come back, we're going to be talking about a difficult subject, domestic abuse. You'll get some good information and maybe be able to make a difference in someone's life. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
I'm Father Robert Barron. Our new Catholicism documentary series and study program can now be pre-ordered online. Go to CatholicismPreorder.com. Will you help me introduce this one-of-a-kind film series and catechetical program to your parish, school, and diocese? Journey around the world and deep into the faith in this 10-part, 10-hour epic adventure. Learn more at CatholicismPreorder.com.
You're invited to join teens and young adults from throughout the Chicago area and the Midwest for a wonderful night of music, fun, and worship under the stars.
Come to World Youth Day Chicago Style, a gathering of young people that coincides with the concluding mass at World Youth Day in Madrid, Spain.
The festivities begin Saturday evening, August the 20th, at the Our Lady Guadalupe Shrine in Des Plaines. Watch Pope Benedict celebrate Mass in Madrid and take part in our own worship services. There will be food and entertainment throughout the entire night.
Go to www.youthministry-chicago.org for details and to register. That's www.youthministry-chicago.org.
You can also get updates on Facebook at keyword World Youth Day Chicago.
Get some rest and we'll see you August 20th for an all-nighter under the stars.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 AM, the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning, 9:32 AM in Chicagoland. I'm Graziano Marcheschi. You're listening to the radio voice of the Catholic Archdiocese of Chicago. We're going to be talking during this half hour about a difficult subject, but it's one that touches the lives of many, many people, Catholics included, and that is domestic abuse. The statistics are staggering. The number of women, the number of children whose lives are impacted on a daily basis, every hour, every 15 minutes, someone is being victimized within their own home. It's a frightening thing to think about. But because it's a reality, it's an important thing to talk about because it doesn't have to be this way. And there are efforts being made within this archdiocese, both at the diocesan level and at the parish level, to try to address this issue. So we're very delighted to welcome to the program this morning Mr. Frank Hannigan, who is the Director of Family Ministries Office for the Archdiocese, Rita Kantner, who is the Director of the Office for Councils, and Father Chuck Dom, a Dominican priest, associate pastor at St. Pius V Parish, where he works with families who've experienced violence. And Father Dom has written articles and preached on the topic of domestic abuse. So welcome to all three of you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Father Chuck, I'd like to start with you. You wrote an article where you mentioned a couple who came to you asking baptism for their child. And during the conversation, you noticed a red flag. Tell us about that.
Well, I think most women who are victims, first of all, most victims are women. About 7% of the victims of domestic violence are men. So most are women. I think we'll be talking today mostly about women. They are generally very reclusive about the violence. They do not want people to know for a variety of reasons, embarrassment, fear. And so they don't generally let on. So normally we have to kind of be very sensitive, watch for signs, as you said, red flags. And when I was interviewing this couple who at whose wedding I had officiated 10 years previously, I asked how they were doing. And when the woman said, oh, okay, I took that as a red flag. Mm. It could have meant anything, really. But as a result, I asked if I could speak to her alone. And as I said, then I said to her, well, how are things really going? And then she just broke down in tears and began to talk about the violence that she is suffering.
Now, do you think that you were particularly sensitive because of the experience you've had dealing with this situation?
Absolutely. I think I have seen so much domestic violence. It's so prevalent. It's so unnoticed that I become almost like a detective, and I develop a suspicion that a woman is a victim of domestic violence unless she proves otherwise to me. She can talk about how her marriage is just great, things are going good, and she smiles when she tells me that.
Yeah.
Then I become convinced and relax.
Frank, when we talk about domestic abuse, If we were only talking about physical abuse, you know, where there are external signs, you know, there's a bruise here, a black eye there, obviously you wouldn't need to be a detective like Father Chuck is talking about. What other forms of abuse are we talking about besides physical abuse?
Well, certainly emotional abuse is something that happens on a regular basis. I think we define abuse as any type of control through intimidation that, you know, prevents, in, you know, most cases, as Father Chuck said, a woman from, leading her life, living her life in a proper kind of way. So there's, you know, several different types of abuse. Physical abuse is what folks are most concerned about because they see it as more devastating. But, the isolation that happens with emotional abuse can be just as bad.
Yeah. Now, Rita, you're the director of the Office for Councils. We have various councils within the Archdiocese, the Priest Council, Women's, the Archdiocesan Women's Council, Pastoral Councils. And I understand that all of those councils have made addressing domestic abuse a priority. Give us a little background on that.
Well, every year, Cardinal George gives the Archdiocesan Pastoral Council three issues to work on. And he usually picks it from things that come up in conversations with them. Say, this is, if it comes up a lot. And at the Women's Committee, when they met, when they were talking about possible issues, it just sort of came out that three women out of this group of about 18 women were being abused.
Wow.
And Cardinal said, that's got to be one of our issues. So that year, he chose three issues on violence. Violence in the home, which take in domestic violence, violence in community, you know, the gun fighting, the shooting. And then the third was communication violence, which we find out these days a lot of stuff gets put on the, communicate it with the kids. So out of that, that's where the domestic violence really was highlighted. And then we became part of a larger group called Catholics Against Violence.
Yeah. And now, because we do hear about these issues with some regularity, we tend to get inured to some of the statistics and forget how pandemic this really is. Father Chuck, can you give us just a little bit of a glimpse at the numbers that we're talking about here?
Well, I think it's generally accepted that in terms of physical abuse, one out of maybe three to four women is beaten at least once in her lifetime. Hmm. And I think you said every 15 minutes, but actually it's every 15 seconds.
Wow.
A woman is beaten in the United States.
Wow.
So it's very common. And I think the statistic that is perhaps most shocking to people is that during the time of the Vietnam War, the United States lost 57,000 soldiers in the war. And during that same time period, 54,000 women were murdered by their partners in the United States. So
I think we need a moment of silence just to absorb that. 54,000 women?
During the time of the Vietnam War.
Murdered by their own partner.
Yeah. So it comes out between 3,000 and 4,000 women a year. You know, the war went on for quite a long time, depending on how you count it. But, you know, when you count how many soldiers and what period of time they were killed during the war. If you read the papers today and listen to the news, I mean, open the Tribune any day, and you are going to find probably a victim of domestic violence.
Yeah.
Someone who was killed by their partner.
Now, are the abusers, are these people with a history of violence, or is this someone who woke up one day with no clue that by the end of the day he was going to be a murderer? Are these people that you could predict they're on that kind of trajectory, or is it often just this moment of rage that just happens?
Well, as Frank was mentioning, there's different kinds of violence. So, you know, if you're talking about the physical violence, but rage also is emotional. I mean, if you go into a rage, even if you don't hit, but, you know, somebody's going to be terribly afraid of the anger. So they're going to be silent, and they're going to obey and so forth. So there is definitely a tendency for anyone who grew up in a violent home to also be violent. The same with any kind of substance abuse. You learn it at home, and you have a good chance of repeating it.
Yeah.
So that's a major issue, to break the chain of violence. But to predict it, it's not always predictable. But I can see it now. If I'm interviewing a couple, for example, for marriage, and I can have a clue that this person is going to be an abuser.
We need to go to a short break right now. We're going to come back after these brief announcements and continue this very important conversation that touches the lives of so many of us. You're listening to Catholic Radio on AM 950. Graziano Marcheschi, be right back. Please don't go away.
Most interment arrangements at the 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries are made through a pre-need plan. Your thoughtful planning today is economically prudent and contributes to peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Catholic Cemeteries counselors are available at your convenience. For more information, call 708-449-6100. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Catholic Charity's Loving Outreach to Survivors of Suicide program has provided specialized counseling and support groups for adults in the Chicago area for many years. LOS recently initiated a support program for children and teens ages 3 to 18 and will be running a summer session. Any parents, teens, or children who have been affected by the death of a loved one to suicide are welcome. For more details about LOS and the summer program, call 312-655-7283.
Do you need to train leaders and educate your assembly about the new words we will soon hear and say at Mass? Mystical Body, Mystical Voice DVD and Formation Program is a proven resource that gives church professionals tools with which to teach about the liturgy and about the new words of the Revised Roman Missal. Not only will this program help ease the transition to using the new Mass texts, but it will open the eyes of your assembly to the riches of the liturgy. Advent 2011 is fast approaching. To prepare your parish and provide them with an opportunity for ongoing faith and liturgical formation, call Liturgy Training Publications at 800-933-1800 or visit ltp.org. That's 800-933-1800 or visit ltp.org.
Thank you for tuning in or staying with us. It's 9:44 in the Chicago morning. We're celebrating the feast of St. Mary Magdalene today. A very important figure in the life of our Lord and an important figure in the life of the church. She inspires so many of us to give our lives to Jesus as she did. She was the first witness of the resurrection, the apostle to the apostles. So we, like her, get the opportunity to go forth and bring that good news that death is not the final word, that pain and suffering are not our ultimate destiny, but that resurrection is our hope. And today, as we talk about this very important and painful topic of domestic abuse, the message of the resurrection that Magdalene was the first to proclaim is a very important one. Let's talk about how we as a diocese can proclaim resurrection to people, enmeshed in this difficulty. It's a staggering set of statistics that you're sharing here, and it could be very easy to feel overwhelmed by it all and to get a sense of, well, what in the world could we do? But we as a church are working very hard to do something about it. Rita, could you tell us a little bit about the kind of education program that we've embarked upon, particularly in regards to priests and others within the diocese?
Well, we're asking that the priest at least preach on domestic violence at least minimally once a year, if not more. But it needs to be preached on because people in the pew don't always know. They don't even realize they're victims. You know, I've met many people who have over years been abused, but they didn't realize it and thought they should just stay with the person.
Can you tell us about how Cardinal George became aware of this issue and decided to make this a priority within the Archdiocese?
Well, with the Archdiocese Women's Committee, which is three women from each of the six vicariates, get together with Cardinal George on women's issues. And in the conversation of talking about issues for the next year, it just came out. Different people, all of a sudden this one person said, and she just broke down crying, that she had been abused. And she stayed in the marriage until her kids were being abused as well. Uh-huh. And she had to sneak out and find a place to go. And then two other women spoke up. And the Cardinal George is out of women. 18 women, three of them being abused. This is an issue that's bigger than us, and it needs to be looked at. And so they started to research it, you know?
Yeah.
And that's how they became a part of that larger group on violence, prevention of violence, you know? But this year, fortunately, and we tried for years, in January, there's going to be Father Dom and a couple people are going to go up to the seminary and talk to seminarians about it. Father Dom has helped us out a lot in putting together homily for October, which is National Domestic Violence Month, to be preached, you know?
Now, Frank, as we talk about prevention, because obviously that would be the hope.
Absolutely.
Not just to intervene in the middle of it, but to try to make sure it never happens. What can be done with couples who are getting married, who never in their wildest dreams would imagine that their relationship could turn into an abusive one?
Well, I think, Gratz, one of the things that we do in our marriage preparation programs is just talk about the reality of domestic violence. Several years ago, we had a situation where a person put in a question and answer box, you know, my boyfriend is beating me up, what should I do? And this is a woman, I'm sure, who put that in, of course, who's getting married. And if a person is, being physical with you now, being violent now, they will continue to be violent in the marriage. So we've had in our marriage preparation workbook the bishop's pastoral letter, When I Cry for Help, that talks about it's unacceptable. It should never be tolerated to be violent with your partner. And so that's something for them to hear, that some people use or misuse the Bible to say that it's okay. You're in a sacramental marriage. You've made a vow. You have to stay here, even if you're being beaten. And the bishops say very clearly that's not the case. So we try to let our young people know that this is a deal breaker right away. If you love your partner and you're being abused, get help now. Don't bet your marriage on it.
Father Chuck, it surprises me a little bit to hear that an engaged couple is already experiencing domestic violence within the relationship and still moving towards marriage. What's the psychology of something like that? Why would a woman be willing to enter into a relationship with someone who's already abusing her? Are there cultural factors? Are there psychological factors? What's going on?
There are both, but I think one of the things that we need to recognize is that domestic violence is equally prevalent across ethnic lines. So it doesn't make any difference whether you're white or black or brown or red, you know. And it doesn't make any difference if you're rich or poor. It's the studies show that it is equally prevalent in all social, economic, and all ethnic groups. So we shouldn't think that, well, it's not in our backyard, because it's in every backyard. But I think oftentimes women in a relationship will make excuses because they do love the person. They also think they can reform the person. The person will change once they're married. That's a very common mistake that a lot of people make, not even regarding domestic violence. So they think that, for example, the jealousy that he's experiencing during the dating period will disappear once they're actually living together. But actually, jealousy frequently is nothing but a mechanism to control. It's not real jealousy. It's more of, how can I stop her from having relationships with anybody and isolate her? So a lot of women think, for example, he'll stop drinking, or let's say he has stopped now and he won't go back to it, but he does go back to it. I should also say that alcohol and alcoholism is not the same as domestic violence. And they're two separate problems, but frequently they are related because alcohol or drug abuse can aggravate the domestic violence. Yeah.
So as you deal with young couples in particular, and you become aware of this kind of a problem, what's the advice that you give to someone? Do you say, get out now before it's too late? Do you sit the man down and convince him that he needs therapy? What's the strategy?
Well, I think it's very difficult if the couple is dating, because a man will be a lot more sensitive and careful not to blow it during his courtship. So he will generally mind his P's and Q's. I mean, he won't take off, you know, his wraps, so to speak, until he actually gets married. I mean, I have stories of women who were beaten on their honeymoon when they never experienced anything like that during their courtship period. So it was like a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. He totally changed when I married him. So, you know, it is not all that easy to identify during the courtship, but there can be signs.
Yeah. What about the guilt factor? Now, a woman is in the relationship, and there's a lot of forces on her saying, you have to stay there, it would be wrong to walk away. What's the advice that the church would give? What's the healthy, what's the sound, what's the godly advice that you would give to a woman who's enmeshed in the midst of an abusive relationship?
Well, sacramental marriage does not say that you have to stay in a relationship where your life is in danger or your children's life is in danger. You have a responsibility to yourself. You don't have the problem by leaving. The person who's abusing has the problem. It's that person's issue. They try to make it, you know, the woman's issue and put it on her so that, you know, she doesn't get the help that she needs. So I would say to have an escape plan, to talk, if you can, to a priest or deacon, someone who's knowledgeable. And that's, you know, why so much where our priests and deacons have to preach about this.
Yeah. So. Yeah, because if they preach, at least they acknowledge they're aware of the situation. And now a woman maybe will be less reluctant to go and say, this is happening in my life, because she knows they're aware of this. They know that it could be happening, and it's not going to be such a scandalous thing to reveal this to them.
I think it's also important that a lot of women who are experiencing difficulties in their marriage, they might think that marriage counseling is the solution, and it could very well be. However, if it is domestic violence, whether it be psychological, sexual, economic, lots of economic abuse, especially for women who don't work outside the home, or physical, It shouldn't be treated as a marriage counseling issue. It should be treated as a domestic violence issue. And that is something quite different. And many counselors do not recognize that. Although in the social service world, It is commonly recognized that they are two different problems with two different solutions. So if a woman has experienced some kind of a psychological abuse or whatever kind of abuse there is, she should really look for some counselor who has some experience with domestic violence to help her understand what is happening to her. Because frequently it's very hard for the victim to realize, to understand it. Frequently they make excuses for the abuser, and they want to stay with the abuser. They want to save their family. They want to not separate their kids from their father. So there's all these pressures. Yeah. So, but they need to get some help and support themselves. And he needs to get some help, but frequently he won't take it. But since she's the victim, she needs to take the first step probably.
Well, from the statistics that you've been sharing, it would be pretty obvious to guess that there are listeners who have been victims of abuse and who probably know someone who is the victim of abuse. Rita, can you give us a phone number that people could call if they're looking for the kind of help that Father Chuck just talked about?
Well, a couple numbers that come to mind is the Chicago Domestic Violence Helpline is 1-877-863-6338. So if you need immediate help, it's a place to go. Also,
Let's do that once again. 877-863-6338.
Yes. And then also you can be called Father Dom over at St. Pius at 312-226-6161, extension 24.
So that's Father Chuck Dom, who has a great deal of experience in this issue, 312-226-6161, extension 24. That's incredibly generous of you, Father, to be able to give out that number and to be open to anonymous calls from people in need.
Yeah, and we take calls also in Spanish and in English. And I would like to tell the listeners, you know, if you just can't remember these numbers and you're out and about, you could always call 311 in Chicago.
Yeah.
And if you call that number and say, I'm a victim of domestic violence or I need to be connected to somebody that knows something about domestic violence, they will connect you immediately.
Yeah. The rest of us who aren't professionals, who aren't giving CANA conferences, if we're aware of someone who's in this situation, you know, say we have a friend and she confides in us that this is happening, how could we be a resource to them and a source of support?
I think we have to express our support for them, our concern for them. You know, I've noticed that you've been doing this, or you've been kind of down, or you've been withdrawn, or I see, describe the activity that, you know, kind of puts up an alert to you and say, I'm concerned about you. There might be something that's going on. I don't want to pry, but I do want to be of support to you. Anything I can do to help you with whatever you're struggling with, I'll respond.
And yep. I think also if the woman says something, that there is, in fact, abuse going on, to believe her.
Yeah.
To not say, well, you know, he's a pillar of the church, or he's a wonderful, he's a baseball coach, you know, in our community. Those people abuse too.
What might be some of those red flags, danger signals that we might look for that would alert us to the fact that a person might be in need?
Well, for one thing, someone who might withdraw all of a sudden, I mean, it might be because she has a black eye, or it might mean that it's gradually she's withdrawn, and so it might be through threats or it might be through depression. I think we have to recognize a lot of depression in women is caused by domestic violence. So their self-esteem goes down, their confidence in themselves, and so they withdraw. And also, abusers tend to isolate their victims. So they will break off family relations, church relations, and nobody sees them anymore. What happened to her? She used to be very active.
Well, we want to thank all of our guests this morning for helping us to be better informed and equipping us to respond in regards to this very significant issue in the life of the community and of the church. So we thank Frank Hannigan, Director of Family Ministries Office, Rita Kattner, Director of the Office of Councils, and Father Chuck Dom, Associate Pastor at St. Pius V Parish. Remember, 311, if you can't think of any other number, to report that you are a victim and to get help. We thank our producer, Diane Dunnigan, our engineer and director of this office, Mr. Jim Dish, And most especially, we thank you for listening. I'm Graziano Marcheschi. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll see you on the radio on Monday.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day, and God bless you.